It's a Wednesday, and we always visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. You get great news at his website, thecardinalnation.com. Visit with Brian every Wednesday, and baseball is back. And Brian, the Cardinals are now 2-2. Took the first two games of the Pittsburgh series, dropping the opener of their road three-city road trip starting last night in Minnesota. We'll get into that and much more. But as always, good morning to you. How are things going?
Good morning, Dan. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, let's talk about what we saw last night. Carlos Martinez, we know that he beat out KK Kim as the de facto, if you want, fourth or fifth starter, however you want to put it. But he's in the starting rotation. Wasn't overly sharp early on. Had the one bad inning, then kind of settled in. But six runs, all earned. Didn't look great. What did you think of Carlos Martinez last night?
We know Carlos has the pitches, but for whatever reason, they were over the plate. And, you know, the Minnesota Twins won 101 games last year. It wasn't a fluke. And they made, in addition to their offense, a huge addition in Josh Donaldson. And you can see that lineup from top to bottom are good. And, you know, nobody can afford to put, you know, pitches down the middle of the plate. And when he did, they got hit.
I thought Martinez was almost too much around the plate. I don't know if that was, you know, by design, if he wasn't pitching in enough, you know, whatever the case was, wasn't the movement that we saw in the exhibition game against Kansas City the other day, however you want to put it. But with that type of team, it's not Kansas City. It's not Pittsburgh. It's not the lesser teams. I mean, you got to be on. And if you looked at what the relievers did pitching inside, and I thought that's something that maybe you look forward to tonight, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, certainly Austin Gomber, I thought, was exceptional. And, you know, you don't know about Carlos. His history is he doesn't start well in games, you know, in early innings. Maybe he was amped up because it was his first start in a long time. So, you know, we got to give Carlos a little more, you know, window than just one start. But obviously that was not an encouraging outing last night.
Miles Michaelis is done for the year. Daniel Ponce de Leon will go in the rotation. Tell me the thought process and what you think about this. Daniel going in the rotation and keeping Kim in the back end.
Well, John Mozeliak was very clear yesterday in saying that, you know, they're considering the rotation on a day-to-day basis, and initially the move was to not disrupt what they set up. And what he meant was that they had just taken KK Kim and moved him from starting to becoming the closer. And they don't want to turn right back around, you know, 2 days later and say, okay, now you're back in the rotation again. They've got other options, and Daniel Ponce de Leon is the person that they've named to, you know, to make this start on Wednesday. But Mozeliak was also clear to say, hey, this is day-to-day. I'm not saying that this is how the rotation is going to stay over the next 2 weeks. And so, you know, Ponce de Leon, but Mozeliak hope that Ponce de Leon takes and runs with it. So Daniel's got an opportunity, you know, but he realizes that there's other guys like Austin Gomber who are around that could take that role if he shows that he can't handle it. Right now, you know, Kim is the closer, and he's going to stay the closer, but we also saw Giovanni Gallegos activated off the injured list and got his first action last night. So, you know, this is going to be a situation that's going to evolve over time, but you just hope that only the Michaelis spot in the rotation is the one in question, and that Carlos Martinez and Dakota Hudson, who had a rocky outing, you know, in his first appearance of the year, you know, kind of straighten themselves out for in their future outings.
You've covered Daniel for a long time in the minor leagues, and it's been really a up and down career. And he had the brain surgery, literally had brain surgery on the comebacker that was hit, came back. He's a great story. He's gone to a performance enhancement center in terms of trying to get his mechanics right, and paid for it out of his own pocket this offseason to get right. He's changed his delivery going into the season. Go into that a little bit and what you're expecting to see out of Daniel.
Well, Daniel went to Driveline Baseball, which is an academy up in the Northwest, and he really worked on understanding from an analytic perspective and from a physical perspective how he could maximize his effectiveness as a pitcher. And, you know, we know from the past that Daniel's bread and butter is, you know, he can work the ball all around the zone and get strikeouts up high. And so, you know, with a hot, good hitting Twins offense, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he challenges them and can be successful. But he's, you know, worked extremely hard. And like Gomber, you know, they would start for a lot of major league teams. It's just the Cardinals have this wealth of starting pitching, and, you know, little did we know it would, you know, come into play here in the first week of the season.
Absolutely. In terms of just overall picture, the first four games of the season, give me your general view of what you've seen from the Cardinals. What have you thought?
Well, I mean, it was the first two games were, you know, offense and encouragement that, you know, the Cardinals were able to score runs against the Pirates' top two starters. And the last two games have been concerned about pitching, being able to keep the ball in the park and, you know, the runs not really scoring. As last night, the, you know, pitching gave up six runs. And, you know, if the Cardinals have to score seven runs a game to win, you know, they're not going to have a successful season. So, you know, this is all about run prevention. And no matter how good the defense is, if the ball's going over the fence, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I know at your website, thecardinalnation.com, you have written a very interesting article concerning Dylan Carlson and concerning a short season and whether or not he should be up. And I do find it with any top prospect how, and I've been saying it from day one, how an organization approaches this season, the validity of 60 games. Can we get through 60 games? Do you want to start a clock of a top prospect? So dive into that for people that would love to go and read that, thecardinalnation.com. Brian Walton has written a piece on Dylan Carlson. What's your take on what's happening with Dylan?
Well, the answer to the question is going to be tied to several questions. How optimistic are you that you think this entire season is going to be played? Because if you think the season is going to be played out to its end and the Cardinals, you know, have a better chance of winning the World Series if Carlson plays and you consider that World Series to be legitimate, and then bringing up Carlson is the right thing to do. But on the other hand, if you're worried that this season may not be played, that even if it is played, you know, there's going to be this asterisk that's going to make 2020 look odd, there is reasons from the business side to say, you know, keeping Carlson down in the minor leagues until next April 2021, would give them a full year of Carlson's services at the back end of his 6 years of control, which would be 2027. And, yeah, the 2027 season is a long time from now, no doubt about it. But, you know, the worst-case scenario would be they bring Carlson up tomorrow, he plays for a week, and then the season goes down the drain, and now all of a sudden, you know, you've lost that opportunity potentially to save that 1 year of his service down the road. So, it really gets down to how serious you are about this year, the 2020, in terms of not only baseball, but also then what to do with Dylan Carlson.
I think with Major League Baseball, Brian, by them not canceling the season and seeing as many Miami Marlins have tested positive and saying, look, we're going forward, at least speaking today, they're forging ahead, man. They're going to play these games. They're going to somehow get this thing done. I find it amazing that we're continuing, and I'm happy that they are. I think it's great for baseball that they continue. Some people say that that could be callous. I understand that, but by them continuing, it's pretty amazing that they're continuing. What was your initial reaction when you heard that, number one? And number two, do they continue? Do you think that the season will continue as we move forward?
Well, I think it was definitely a wake-up call in that they had a, you know, early warning that, you know, three or four of the Marlins players they knew by Friday were, you know, were positive, but they didn't have enough time to get the testing done, and they made, you know, what was potentially a dangerous decision to play last Friday, but fortunately the Phillies players apparently were not infected, staff were not infected, and so it didn't, it was able to be contained. And I think as long as, you know, a breakout can only be on one team, then it's probably going to be all right. But if this happens with two or three other teams over the next 2 months, you know, I think that's when the season, you know, will be at risk. And hopefully they can avoid that. But, you know, there's just so many moving parts, not only these players in their communities, but also, you know, as they're traveling and all the risks on the road. And even if the players do everything, you know, if you have a hotel worker or you have a flight attendant on an airplane, you know, there are so many different ways. You know, I'm definitely worried about this season making it to its end. But like you, I hope upon hope that we'll be able to watch baseball through the World Series in October.
Absolutely. The Yankees players, though, make quite a statement when they say collectively and vote, and they say, look, tell us where, and we're going to be there. And they're going to play tonight. I mean, that's quite a statement that they're making.
And just on the other side of the coin, the Washington Nationals said, you know, to a man, well, it's one, they had one player who voted contrary, said, you know, we're not traveling to Miami.
Sure.
So, you know, these players are going to, you know, make decisions based on how they feel the risk is for their health. But overall, yeah, they, you know, they all voted to come back. They all want to play baseball, but they just want to make sure that the environment is safe. And, you know, there's no doubt that Major League Baseball is trying to do everything they possibly can to keep things safe. It's just, you know, there are so many variables, it concerns me.
it concerns everybody. There's no doubt. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com, my guest. We do this every Wednesday. When you look at the Cardinals right now, I have said from day one, their pitching is going to be their depth. So far, so good with their bullpen. And that's the thing. I mean, even last night, Carlos not sharp, bullpen very good. I think with the lesser teams, Minnesota is one of the top teams. I thought that in spring training. I think that now. When you get into the bullpens of other teams, especially early, Brian, and that's what we're seeing across the board. For instance, 2 days ago, there was no starter that went five innings or beyond five innings. You can get into the bullpens, and even with a lesser offense, that's where you can make hay. And I think that's why these first 2 weeks for the Cardinals are so important.
I agree with you, Dan. And that is an advantage the Cardinals have because, you know, as much as we see the frontline relievers, you know, guys like Tyler Webb and John Gant have been just as exceptional as the others. And so, you know, if they get into a game where you've got four innings of bullpen pitching and the score is equal, I like the Cardinals pretty much every time.
When you think of the top of the lineup, are you happy with Wong, Edmund, you know, Goldschmidt, DeYoung, that top four combination so far? You're going to keep going with that, you think?
I do. And, you know, part of it is that, you know, those guys have earned those spots. But part of it is that there aren't really a lot of replacements because you look at the bottom of the lineup where you've got your three outfielders and, you know, Harrison Bader struggling. He certainly is not, you know, the bigger question with Harrison Bader is not, you know, would you move him to the top of the lineup, but how long can you afford to start him? You know, he made a defensive play last night that was not what you would expect from a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. And if Bader doesn't shine with the glove or the bat, you know, you got to wonder why he's in there. So, you know, I think it's a little of both. But I do like Colton Wong as a leadoff man. I think he's earned that spot. Tommy Edmund, you know, has just been a spark ever since he's been with the team. And that allows then Matt Carpenter to be in more of an RBI position in the fifth spot. And he, you know, got a couple hits last night. So, you know, hopefully we don't see the Carpenter of 2019, but the Carpenter of 2018 for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he had a couple of hits last night to right field, beat the shift. In terms of what we're seeing with Bader, do you go with Lane Thomas tonight? Now, Bader did have a double, struck out to end the game against Romo. You knew the slider was coming. I thought Mike may make a move, but he didn't. But what do you do with Bader? I know it's only four games in, but it's a short season. So what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. Mike Schilt has, you know, shown confidence in his veterans. He's pretty much stayed with the same lineup. Thomas did get one start in St. Louis. You know, I don't know how much rope Harrison's going to be given. But, you know, if it were me, you know, I would certainly consider giving Lane Thomas more of an audition. And not only just because of Harrison Bader, but also because of the question of Dylan Carlson. And, you know, Carlson's been very clear all along that Dylan Carlson has to wait until they fully evaluate O'Neill and Thomas. And you can't evaluate Thomas while he's sitting on the bench.
Jake Woodford has been added off the taxi squad with the news of what's happened with Miles Michaelis. So tell our fans, I know you've covered a lot of Jake Woodford in the minor leagues, what kind of pitcher the Cardinals are getting in Jake Woodford, who's been added to the, right now, 30-man roster.
Yeah, Jake Woodford, you know, had the opportunity to start for the Pacific Coast League in the All-Star, the AAA All-Star game last year. And, you know, he's just been an impressive performer. His strikeouts were up last season, and but his walks were as well. So his issue was sort of like Daniel Ponce de Leon in the minor leagues, that, you know, there were just a few too many bases on balls for what you'd like to see, and he was, you know, relatively inconsistent. But he started throwing more four-seamers, and he picked up a curveball to give him a little stronger arsenal than he had in the past. And, you know, he's a guy who's been traditionally a starter, but clearly, you know, for the Cardinals, you know, he's at the back end of the bullpen, so he's going to be a guy to fill in and mop up duty in certain cases. When they cut down from 30 to 28, to 26, you know, you look at guys like Woodford and potentially Junior Fernandez, the guys who, you know, maybe would be the ones to end up going back down to summer camp. But it's a great opportunity for Jake Woodford to get his first taste of major leagues, and, you know, he's really earned that.
And then finally, I'll wrap it up. What kind of news are you hearing at the satellite camp in Springfield? I know news is limited down there. Access is probably limited, too. We know Jose Oquendo is running that, but are you hearing anything down there, or is it tough to get some of the news?
Yeah, we haven't been able to get media access yet, although the Cardinals have told us that that's going to change this week. So, you know, we don't know. Now they've had the influx of all the players that were cut from the St. Louis roster at the beginning of the season. So they have 26 players down there. So there's enough critical mass of players that they can begin to have scrimmages once they're sure, you know, everybody's ready and works out. We do know that Alex Reyes and Genesis Cabrera are both supposed to pitch today. To throw live batting practice, and the Cardinals, you know, want to see them build themselves up a little bit before they're brought back to St. Louis. So that's another factor when I mentioned, you know, guys like Woodford and Fernandez might not be too long for St. Louis, you know, because they're still hoping that Alex Reyes and Genesis Cabrera can contribute. So the other injury situation, Brad Miller, who had been down there briefly, has decided to rejoin St. Louis. And, you know, whether he'll be activated for the Milwaukee series is sort of a day-to-day decision. He's been out with some with an ankle slash foot injury.
TheCardinalNation.com, what are you working on? There's daily content there. What are you working on for tomorrow?
Well, we have a daily recaps of all the Major League games this year. So if you want a quick look at, you know, what happened the night before in the game and a link to the box score, we've got that. As I said, the big article up today is about this Dylan Carlson situation. I just ask you to read it and, you know, think about it with an open mind. You know, is this something that the Cardinals should consider? And let's have discussion about it. We're continuing to do series on former Cardinals and, you know, where they've gone. The latest is on Jonathan Rodriguez, who was the first player to sort of put his arm around Carlos Martinez when he came up to the U.S. So we have a lot going on just about what's going on with baseball right now and then as well as looking back at the past. And as I said, once Springfield is opened up, we'll have a local reporter there at all of the workouts and all of the scrimmages that they let us attend.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Brian.
Take care.
Brian Walton, every Wednesday.